All right. Good morning, everybody. Dad asked me to share a little bit about, what we're doing in Colorado and just how, how God's working and moving in people's lives. And so I'll give you a little background first, I guess, if anybody on, doesn't know me at all. Joined the military and was able to, become a Green Beret, which is a special, it's a special forces unit. It's a very high level unit. You get to that point in a career when you just master the basics. It's really not that difficult in a sense, but you got to be consistent, I think consistency and discipline, go a long ways in life in general. And what I did is, and I love what I did. Obviously, I spent a lot of years doing it, and then unfortunately, I got hurt very badly towards the end of my career, which had me, retire early. And it was a really hard transition, going from the military, being that hurt, to becoming, going to the civilian sector and figuring out what's next and overcoming a lot of challenges. Just in seeing that, we all have different circles of people that we can reach and touch, right? Rich, you got friends and people that I'll never know, and vice versa, right? So we all have our different circles of folks. And, the military guys, tend to want to stick together. And we saw a big need, and God really put it on my heart. Just the transition from the military with these guys struggling so much. There was kind of a problem worth solving, I guess you could say, that we saw. And, God put on my heart, and it's a lot of the tools that I learned being a Green Beret, being in the Special Forces, apply to life and can help a lot of the younger guys, getting out, kind of struggling to find their purpose or whatever it may be. And then taking the biblical principles that we have, in our lives, combining those with a medium that I use with the cowboy way of life and horsemanship and working with horses and animals. I put it all together and created this program called Warrior Mission Ranch. And so I'll tell you a little bit about the program. I made some notes to keep me on track here. And what it's been doing, and it's been incredible. Just the lives it's been touching over the last couple of years in particular. It's been life-changing for some of the folks. But so I told you what we do, right? We take combat veterans getting out that are struggling with whatever it may be. Could be addiction problems, could be just a loss of identity, of purpose. But the main things I always hear are two things. One, the guys miss the most from the military is a mission, a sense of a higher purpose. They're doing something bigger than themselves. It gives them, a goal, gives them a purpose to do. The other one is the people they did it with, right? So the people, the fellowship amongst people in the community is just as important, because when you do hard things with people, and it creates these bonds, it builds bonds very quickly, right? When you do hard things with folks, you instantly become best friends. It's just the way it is sometimes, right? So the mission and the people, right? That's the two big common denominators that most of the guys would say they miss when they get out of the military. And this can apply to anybody in life. This is just the circle and the group that I'm able to touch and work with in particular. So what we did is so I structured the program based off of my training in the Special Forces. What we do in selecting those guys, and it's very, the attrition rate is very high, but it's not because of any one thing. It's because it's a whole, they look at the whole person concept, and they're picking people based on a lot of different attributes. And most of those attributes go from character to leadership, loyalty, integrity, things that are the untangibles, I guess you could say, you know, versus I could teach anyone how to shoot a weapon and shoot well, right? We do it all the time. Like we special forces soldiers deploy across the globe and we build and train armies out of farmers or you name it. And we teach them how to become a fighter. And it's not hard. That's not hard. The doing it by yourself and having the integrity to do what's hard and right when nobody's looking, that you can't train, right? That's something that you either have in you or you don't. But, you know, and just goes from there, right? So what I did is I created the problem that we saw is getting out is there's a lot of nonprofits, a lot of people that wanted to help, but they wanted to just give you something, right? Like give you a vacation, a time off, an iPad or whatever the case is, but you didn't earn it. There was no value to it. And I saw going through the military and all the rest of it, the sense of pride and accomplishment came from doing something very hard and challenging. That's what created that sense of pride. That's what created that value, that worth. And so I did, we put together this program to be just the opposite of what the world is trying to do. The world is trying to make your life easier. You got a phone, instant news. You got a car instead of walking. Everything is to be easier in life, not harder. And growth doesn't come through easy, right? Growth comes through work. Whether you go to the gym, you work out, you're breaking down muscles, it hurts, but you get stronger. You want to be more educated? Start reading books. Start educating yourself. You're building a muscle, right? So everything is through growth. It's not through growth comes through pain. It doesn't come through easy, right? So the cowboy way of life, most of you probably won't understand this. Bobby's the only one that's going to really understand the horse aspect of what I'm going to talk about. It is, it's romantic on TV, but it's probably one of the hardest lives that I've lived. You're out when it's cold, dusty, and windy. You're out when it's hot and sweating. You can't cool down. I mean, it's just uncomfortable all the time. But it's something you love, right? You do it because you love it. And the guys that do it day in and day out, they build that. It's such an integrity-based way of life, because now animals depend on you to wake up, before dawn, feed them, break the ice when it's frozen. If you don't break the ice, they don't drink. If you don't go out there and put food out there, they don't eat. Guess what? Everything dies, and then you just failed at, life there. So it's hard. It's a hard life. It really is. It's not, it's so romantic like you see on the old Westerns, all the time. Although, that draws a lot of the guys to want to do something different in life, And so that medium that we use, there's so many principles that we know from the word that relate to this way of life. And the guys that come through the program, they're seeking for something that they don't have right now. Everything is to make life easy. They're told that, whether they're disabled, they can't do something. They're seeking more. And that more is, I need to go out and do something hard again. That's what they're seeking, And so what we do is we broke it up into four phases. And the reason I did this was the same thing I talked about. It's through biblical principles, and it's through the special forces training program that we went through. But the first phase, is kind of the pre-phase. So basically what we're doing is we want to hit on mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical growth. I don't think you can, just like I said before in the selection process, just because the guy is the fastest runner and he's making it first every time, but the guy, is not a team player, guess what? He's not going to get selected, to be on the Special Forces team, right? He doesn't have all the attributes that you're looking at. So my personal opinion is you got to hit them all to grow and heal. And that goes with spiritual. So when I send this application out when guys apply, I say, hey, this is a faith-based program. And some guys are like, well, what does that mean? And I say, well, you're going to see it, but it's not, it's something we do. It's what we live. It's in our lives every day. And the guys are very pleasantly surprised at the end of it. And it's almost unexpected. You know, they don't know what to expect in one sense. So that preface, we give them a book to read, and that book is based on mindset, really shifting the way you're looking at problems and obstacles. It's a secular book that we use primarily, and when the guys get to my facility, then I take that book, and since they read it, I break it down and show them from a biblical principle what that book is applying to, right? And so I'm not going to get into all those principles right this minute, but there's so many lessons learned, and it starts in the mind. It starts with mindset, you know? And the first battle is, you know, your body will do whatever your mind tells it to do. You know, what you put in is what comes out. You know, it's just so simple. It's so simple. But yet, but sometimes it feels like you can't figure it out on your own, you know, type deal. We give them a physical fitness program. And then we have leadership coaches that work with these guys one-on-one. And the main purpose of that is for those guys to really, we have them write out their goals and help them define what their why is. And that's very important. I'll talk about that here a little later and later in the program. But developing that why, to me, is when the motivation runs out, you know, and you're tired, you don't feel like doing it, and you think back to why am I here? It gets you out of that bed, right? Gets you moving again, you know? So that why has got to be something that is higher, and I'm going to talk about this later, higher than what we do, you know? It's got to be, you know, what I say purpose is it's something that can't be taken away from you, right? So if you have a purpose, it's bigger than a job. It's bigger than an employment. It's bigger than a title. It's something that can't be taken away. And I'm going to talk about that, what that means, you know, from us being sons and daughters of Christ. So moving on, guys come to our place. So that lasts 30 days. Then they come to our place in phase two. Phase two is kind of the teaching phase. And this is fun. This is probably my favorite part of the program. So they come to our home, you know, and, you know, these guys come from all different walks of life. The main thing, you know, that we see, you know, Sarah and I and Braille and, you know, and the other folks that help out to put this on, you know, we have all these guys from different walks of life that are hurting in so many different ways. Yet we bring them into our home. We love them like their family. We eat together as a family. We pray together as a family. Build a routine with the guys and teach them some skills on just life routines. And I'll talk about that here in just a second. And then we're outside riding horses and training and working. And, you know, these guys are going way past what they thought was their limit. And it brings it gives me an opportunity to share about God, to teach, and show these guys what they're capable of being and doing. You know, I look at so phase two, the day, you know, starts a little bit of PT together with the guys. They feed the horses, and then we I take those principles that we talked about from the book, and I give them a theme of the day, and then they have a time to journal and some devotional time that we do together. And that's kind of our morning routine. Then we eat breakfast. So we're up at like 5 a.m. So we're up pretty early to get all this stuff accomplished and pack it in one day. You know, and the thing about doing a routine, you know, is the same thing about horsemanship. It's consistency, right? And so I've learned now over the years from very good mentors how to make a great horse. And what I mean by that is there's very basic principles that apply to horsemanship that apply to everyday life. One is, I'll just throw some terms out there and I'll explain what they are. But there's a term called pressure and release when you're training an animal, right? You got to train yourselves the same way, right? So you train an animal, there's pressure and release. There's, I call it being firm but fair, right? So when you're training an animal, it still needs boundaries, but it has to go, you know. So here's the example I talked to the guys. Great example. Guys get on the horses and they're all just kind of bouncing around and, you know, trying to learn how to ride. And I'm teaching them the principles of it. A lot of the guys will get frustrated at a certain point. And, you know, they're like, hey, this animal, you know, this horse won't turn right. I can't go. It's not listening to me or whatever the case is, you know. So there's a couple of big principles in there. One is, it's probably the way you're asking is not correct, right? So being able to humble yourself, learn, you know, learn the tool and how to train, how to you know, ride that horse properly so the horse understands and it wants to be in sync with you, right? The other thing, too, is when it's an animal, right? You know, it's 1,200 pounds. It's got its own, sometimes it's got its own idea of what it wants to do. And it says, you know what, I'm going to take you over there, you know, and you know, the guy's just on for a ride, you know, and you know, you're not stronger than 1,200 pounds, right? But the thing about it is being able to be consistent on how you ride. So when you do it, you know, I like to ride as light as I can be. So if that horse, and I'm building that partnership with that horse, and it's looking for me to give it the direction, and if I'm rewarding it constantly, so I reward it when it's doing the right thing, and I correct it when it's doing something wrong, right? And if I've asked properly, and I told it to go a certain direction, and it doesn't do it, I can make a firm correction. It's not brutal. It's just firm. But then I go right back to being light. You know, a great principle like this is everybody has children here. Like our daughter, you know, Brielle, amazing, right? We always tell her how great she is, perfect. It's the truth though, right? She's a wonderful, has a great heart, all these things, but she does 14-year-old things. So what do? We correct the 14-year-old behavior that's not appropriate or wrong at the time. And then it goes right back to being light and loving. And this is what you are. Right, you call it a monster, pretty soon you're going to have a monster pretty quickly, you know. So I say that with the guys when they ride the horses and they're like, oh, this horse ain't listening to me. Well, I'm telling you, you're sitting on a pretty expensive, nice animal, you know. And if you treat it like a 50 cent, you know, rag doll, well, guess what? You're going to get what you just put into that. You know, you treat it like a piece of crap. You know, and you're brutal and you're hard with it, well, that animal's going to get dull and resentful and everything else and doesn't want to do anything with you, right? You treat it like it belongs to God, then, man, it just wants to die for you, you know? So it's that mindset, right? Being firm but fair in what you do, you know? And this last class, we had a guy came to the program. Very, very bitter, very angry. I was wondering. I was like, I don't know if this is even something that we can handle. Plus, you know, I've got the girls, and we welcome all these guys into the home, which can be uncomfortable sometimes, you know. And this God put it on my heart to have this one guy come to the program, and I was a little bit on the fence at first whether we would take him or not, because he seemed so angry, and I was like, well, this might be a little hard, you know, to have around the girls, you know, in particular is what I was thinking. He was angry because he was angry at God, you know. So his wife died unexpectedly. For 10 years, he was just angry at God. He blamed God for all of that, for her death and what happened and all the rest of it. And, you know, we were out there riding horses and working. And at one point, you know, I wasn't thinking of anything. I was just teaching and sharing. But I said to him, you know, he was trying to do something that wasn't working, all the rest of it. I said, sometimes you just need to hold the cue until the horse finds it and then let it go. Then, you know, walk out with it. And it was, you know, God put in my heart to go over there and tell him that. And he started tearing up, you know, and it was heavy. And I wasn't the right time to peel that onion back, you know, because I could tell he wanted to tell me something and kind of get off his chest, but he didn't want to do it, you know, right there and then. And, you know, there was a lot going on, and I could tell this was going to be something we'd come back to. Just, I could feel it, you know. So later, we have guest speakers that come in every day, and the guest speaker that day, you know, was sharing about his walk with God and listening, you know, and to the point where he has a relationship with God, to the point where he asked God, what do I eat this morning for breakfast? What do you want? What should I eat? You don't want me to eat that? I won't eat that. This guy, Casey, is a great guy. But he was talking about his relationship with God. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. And that's the premise of this program. And, so it was a bit of a challenging thing, and it seemed like he was talking directly to this one individual, and the guy burst out and said, well, this is what's going on, and I'm angry about God and all the rest of it. And then it gave us the opportunity, you know, to talk to him. But the reason that happened, right, is because he knew he was loved, and he was safe, and he was cared for, and then you can reach him, you know. And so the point of that, you know, if you look at, like, Dad, can you read, here. Let's see if I can read my own notes here. If you go to 1 John 4, 7, and 8, and then what it says, I'll read this one, Dad, if you can go to John 13, 35. John, 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Sometimes it's not easy, right? It's not easy. We get a lot of people that come in the house, and some of them just grate on me, you know, their personalities, whatever it could be, right? I mean, we all have it. You know, what makes it easier in working with some of the guys that are so hard to work with is because we're loving them from a love that God told us to do, from a love of God. You know, nobody cares how much I know until they know I actually care about them, you know? And that's something that stuck with me a very long time. You know, if you can't invite somebody in, treat them like family, where they feel like they can open up, they're going to actually listen. They're not going to listen to the an academic who's just, you know, spitting information, you know, in one sense. They're going to listen to the guy that actually cares about them, you know, that, you know, they're in the ditch. Well, and I'm going to talk about this in a second. You need somebody to be able to help you out of that a little bit sometimes, right? So that you can get back on your path. You'll listen to a person that you know loves and trusts, you can trust and divulge with versus just information, right? So if you could read that, John 13, 35.
Says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another.
Yeah. I mean, what is it that God has asked us to do, right? The two great commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, right? So if you can love people initially, bring them in, then they see the walk that you have. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, so difficult, you know, like we had another, you know, if everything is lawlistic, and it's an impossible thing to attain, right? If it's something that, you know, that makes it so hard to do, then you're not going to stick with it, right? God knows, he talks about it in Psalms, that we're dust. He knows what we are, you know. We're going to screw up on a constant basis. I mean, constantly. However, you know, what does God want? He wants the relationship that we have with Braille. He wants a relationship. He wants to be able to talk, speak, enjoy the company and the fellowship with one another. You know, that's what I, you know, when these guys come in and you can see, like for that individual right there, who is completely different today, in that time period, even the girls were talking about it. We have another girl, Alice. Her husband was a coworker of mine, and another wonderful, wonderful woman, great heart. You know, they're cooking the meals for these guys, and they, you know, this guy had like a dark heaviness to him, you know. And by the time that transformation happened that midweek, he was light, joyful, talking to the girls. He wouldn't talk to anybody. It just felt like he was loved, cared for. God forgave him. You know, he was able to have that relationship. And it's why we're doing this, right? You know, we're not doing this just to run around the West and, you know, be cowboys and all the rest. We're doing this because that guy, it changed his life in a way where he realized, you know, he's forgiven, he's loved, he's not believing the lie, you know, that, you know, he's unforgiven, you know, and there's an adversary trying to pull us away from that relationship constantly, you know, and he realized, you know, God was just holding the cue. That's what he said to me. He's like, man, when you said that, I was like, that's what I felt like. I felt like that horse, you know, where God's just holding the cue, waiting for me to turn around, find it, so that I can go back and live in that very peaceful life, you know. And that was pretty touching for us on that one. You know, phase two, you know, with all this stuff, they're learning something brand new. The cool thing about horses, and this is why I love calling Bobby and talking about horses all the time. So, but, you know, it's a 1,200-pound animal that's a prey animal, can hurt you at any particular time it wants to. You know, it can run you over and you feel it. It can throw you off its back whenever it decided it felt like doing it. It could pitch me into the dirt anytime it wants, but it doesn't. You know, you name it, right? So here we are. We take these animals, you know, and like when you start a young horse, you know, now I'm a predator, right? Working with a prey animal that you're learning how to build a relationship and trust with, so that I can strap a dead cow to its back and then climb on it like a mountain lion would, be all over his neck, and then go ride in the middle of nowhere by itself when it wants to be with all its buddies, right? So you build this relationship and this trust with this animal that you can do all these things, like I just said, you know, kind of joking around. You know, that saddle's is a cowhide and all the rest of it. I mean, you know, if you really think about it, you know, you're taking this animal. It's amazing. But you have to build a relationship. You have to build a trust. And to do that takes consistency, discipline, fairness, all the things that go into having a relationship, right? You can't start a horse doing it one day a week and expect to have a good product. You can't. It's something you got to do every day, sometimes multiple times a day. It doesn't have to be a lot, but it's got to have a point. It's got to have a purpose. You don't just wing it out there. I've got a program. I got a design program that I do. When things don't exactly work, I adjust, but I have a program, right? And so with our daily lives, with these guys in the morning, you know, they wake up, they feed the animals first, they work out, they get their bodies ready for the day, they do a journaling time, devotional time, get their mind ready for the day. We have fellowship time together, you know, building a community. And that consistency helps them. What they put in their mind in the morning, I asked them, I said, are you finding it throughout the day? You know, so, you know, I everybody's got their habits, you know, once in a while, you know, I'll wake up sometimes and I'll look at the news and, you know, that really sets my day real well, you know, or, you know, you could wake up, you know, spend 10 minutes just reading the Psalms. Building that consistency, I think, is so important for our lives, you know, you know, when you're in a lost spot, you go back to your training, and that training, whether it was from the special forces, you know, being able to do what we did because we trained at such a high level and so consistently, even now today in our lives, you know, when we're in stuck or rough points and we, you know, for me, go back to a morning routine and just work your training, build what you're putting into your mind. And then that is, for me, it's easier to separate what's a truth and what's a lie. I could talk about this all day, but I want to just kind of go over an overview, you know? So that second phase, right? We're building routines, we're training guys, we're teaching them skills. You know, they're learning horsemanship, but they're learning life. They're learning biblical principles while we're doing it. You know, they get to a point where they know they're loved. They know they're cared for. They know it's, they feel what a relationship is. And now they're seeking to know more. You know, phase three, we take these guys to working cattle ranches. And, you know, these guys do it for a living. And like I said, it's, it goes back to what I said in the beginning, you know, now they're up, you know, even earlier, probably, especially if it's hot out, you know, and they're working along these cowboys, riding miles and miles, sometimes by yourself. I've got, you know, you guys have probably seen it online, but I've got pictures where, you know, a guy looks like a speck because he's, you know, a dot, you know, across, you know, the way on top of this mountain hill, you know, and just prior to this, the guy knew food goes in the horse and food comes out. He didn't even know how to ride a horse, you know, and yet he's able to do this and accomplish all this, you know, because, you know, having the training, having being equipped and then putting it to use, you can do so much more than what the world tells you you can do. You know, the world wants to say to these guys that they're disabled, they can't do this, or whatever the case is. Yeah, you can believe that and be limited, you know, or you can believe the truth that God has made us to be more than conquerors. He loves us. He wants a relationship. Go out and conquer, you know. I mean, it's just so simple. But when they see it and they do it and they realize it, they're like, wow, what else can I do? You know, it's amazing. You know, the other big principle that we talk about, you know, quite a bit comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know, we talk about this a lot, and this is where the community really gets built into this, you know. So now they're out there on a working cattle ranch. I'm not teaching anymore. I'm helping. I'm guiding, but I'm not there to slow the day down and teach. They've got a on the job training, and then we put them in leadership roles, and now they're relying on one another, you know. And when somebody's falling behind, you know, it's not even me all the time anymore. You know, some guy's trying to saddle his horse and he's having a hard time. He's falling behind. We got a timeline to meet. We got a mission to do. We've got to get things done. Now the next guy that, you know, comes over and helps him, you know, finish saddling, whatever it may be, you know, he takes a rock out of that guy's bag. You guys know what a Sherpa is? Have you ever heard of a Sherpa? Sherpa is, you know, Mount Everest, you know, all these guys that climb. The guys that pay, you know, $100,000 to go torture themselves and climb up Mount Everest, you know, type thing. They don't climb and take all that gear with them themselves. They've got a string of Sherpas that are there that carry all this gear while they're carrying gear themselves up this mountain, right? They don't do it by themselves. You know, you got to find a good Sherpa in your life. Somebody that can help take a rock out of the sack once in a while and help you to get through those points that you can't do it by yourself. You know, I say it kind of joking around, but, you know, we talk about this, you know, iron sharpens iron. There's a lot of butter knives out there in the world. You don't just pick people, you know. There's a lot of butter knives out there. You got to pick somebody that, you know, I talk to Dad daily. You know, sometimes I don't like what I hear, but that's because it's sharpening, right? It's supposed to get the rough edges off. It's supposed to be, you know, a bit abrasive once in a while, in the sense that it's honing. It's not just, you know, you don't just, like I said, you know, in the very beginning, day one, I tell these guys, no, you know, I'm the instructor, I have an assistant instructor, you know, the blind, you know, you asking your buddies, the blind leading the blind, you know, that's like picking a butter knife in the world and asking them for, you know, help in life. You know, it's just the blind leading the blind. You got to find, you know, this verse is very important, but to me, it's also important that you choose the right person to be that iron that you're going to sharpen against. You don't just pick everybody out there, you know. But at that point, you know, they start to help each other. You know, they're working together. They're building each other up. It's incredible, you know. So I'm gonna kind of close up with a few things here, you know. What are we talking about in general? You know, when these guys feel lost, you know, when we feel lost, you know, do we lose our identity in what we did, our profession of what it is? You know, you will be lost very quick if that is the case. You know, Robert, you were a police officer for many years. I was in the military for many years. It ended, right? So is my identity, you know, being in the military? Is being, you know, a profession? You know, I'm just using an example. You know, or is it, you know, we are a son and daughter of God, you know, something that can't be taken away, right? That's a purpose. That's something, that's an identity worth a calling. You know, there's something that I always say, you know, identity isn't based on what you do. It's based on whose you are, right? So, you know, that's the truth. You know, and when you want to look at it from that point of view and you understand what is your why, you know, well, my why right now is this program. I'm able to share to these guys that I can reach and touch, that most people, nobody here in this room could touch. I'm able to talk to them about what God has done for me in my life and the deliverance and the healing. And, you know, and it's not a perfect walk, but it's a walk. It's a relationship. You know, he knows we're dust. He knows we're going to screw up. Yet we still continue to stay on the path because that's what our Lord wants us to do. You know, it's not about being perfect. It's about the relationship, right? You know, Galatians 3:26 tells us, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. You know, like I said, identity is not what you do. It's who you are, you know. So, you know, usually I say this to the guys, you know, at some point in the program. But it's, you know, it's a bit of a challenge. And it's a bit of a calling, you know, like a wake-up call, you know. It's not something you just live, you know, you got to live it, not just speak it, right? James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word. And so so you deceive yourselves, but do what it says, right? Leadership is doing, growth is living it, not just hearing it. You know, you got to live it. When you guys walk through your day, You know, and I'm just as guilty of this. I'm probably more guilty of this than anybody in the room. You know, I walked the day and, you know, I put my face on, please do not approach me face, you know. I don't want to talk to the random stranger out there, you know, all the time. Probably most of the time. There's a lot of, I really don't like people in general sometimes, right? But you know, but if we're God's people and we're ambassadors for the Lord and that's what we're supposed to be, well, you know what? Then it's time, you know, try it. You know, I've done it. You know, you smile at the random person, guess what? You usually get a smile back, you know. But if you can love with the love of God, and that is genuine, that is not just, you know, putting a quarter in a cup, walking away, but genuine love to what you're capable of doing and reaching the people that are in your circle, you know. And if Christ is pouring out of you, people are going to be attracted to that. And then you have the opportunity to share what God has done and bring people to Him in a way, you know. So it's been amazing. It's been an amazing journey. We're really blessed. It's actually exceeded our expectations. We were talking about it a couple of days ago. You know, we had a class last year. Every single guy was divorced. Right, everyone was divorced in the class. One person remarried his ex-wife, and their children are doing well. You know, the guy I talked to, I mean, he's got a wife and a child right now. The one I was talking about, that's angry at God. He's doing well. He's finding his way. You know, it's not easy, right? Our last phase, which I didn't touch on, but it's building that community, following up with these guys, helping them to stay on that consistent, you know, routine. Because when you go back into the you know, your old routine, you know, you're going to have all those stumbling blocks in front of you and everything else. And that's why that follow-up is so important, you know. But we've just seen such healing in people. And it's healed me in so many ways, too. Just being able to share this with the guys has healed me and, you know, and it's hard work. You know, we open our home up, you know, Sarah's cooking meals, Alice is cooking meals, you know, before the guys show up, you know, getting everything prepared. It's a long day, you know, 6 a.m. to 8 o'clock at night. I mean, we're tired, you know, so it's a lot of work, but it's so worth it. You know, it's so satisfying in so many ways. And, yeah, I just ask that, you know, you pray and ask God to continue to bless it, you know, but do it in your own lives. There's so many other ways that you can touch people, you know, and your circle, you know, and, you know, just ask yourself a question, you know, am I living a life of a relationship? Am I asking God, you know, what do I do? What do I say to this person, this random person, or whatever the case is? Have that conversation with the Lord. He wants it, you know, but you got to be in tune, just like I'm in tune with these horses. You know, I can look where I want to go, and that horse is already just looking at that direction, you know. So for me to be that in tune and that consistent with a horse, if you have that relationship with God, then you ask that question, I'm sure you get an answer because you're that in tune, you know. Or are you going to be do it once a week and be that dull? And guess what? You're just going to be clumsy trying to get through that turn, you know, type thing. So, you know, so just think about that. And I would challenge you to, you know, sharpen yourselves. You know, you got to find the person who's going to be sharpen, you know, don't find the butter knife. You got to really get out there and be bold and say something when you have the opportunity. And you got to be in tune and have consistency in order to, you know, hear God speak back. And it's not a word. It could just be, you know, you're not going to, you know, hear the big booming voice, but it could be a word. It could be something that's put on your heart. Well, then go act on it, because then you're that in tune. You know where it's coming from, you know? So, yeah. So I love you guys. Thanks for letting me share a little bit about what we're doing. And, that's it.
Mike. Well, I'm glad. Thank you, son. It's you know, when you have a service that you perform for God to bless and love and care for people and to bring them back to wholeness, and that is the purpose of our lives. There's no greater purpose in life than to serve. Yeah, if you just, I'm going to take just a minute or two here to add to this, just to cap it off, and because I'm supposed to, I guess. But if you go to any one of the church epistles, and we'll go to Romans at the moment, because it's the closest to my finger. Romans chapter 1. You can't give people what you don't have. And the one thing that you and I in this church have dwelled upon since the beginning of it, that I've been a part of it, even in a different organizations, is that we have been given the word. We've been given this word, and what are we going to do with it? And then when Paul received the word of God from the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, you know, it was a traumatic, huge change. And then he spent 3 years in the wilderness. And then when he came out of the wilderness, he was preaching the scriptures. You know, he went to the town and he was preaching in the town. But then he went and learned, spent a little time with the Lord and put the things together for 3 years. And then he led the book in the book of Galatians. He was in that church at Antioch almost 18 years. But every place he went, he told people who he was and what it was about. It says here, Paul, I'm a doulos, a servant, a doulos. A doulos was an individual who would so love their master as a slave. A doulos was a slave that so cared for and loved that master that he would dedicate his life to serve him all his days. And in return, that master would take care of that servant equally, if not better, than his own children. Paul was a doulos of Jesus Christ. He knew Jesus died for him. He knew Jesus had taught him. He knew Jesus was his king, his Lord, his Messiah. And he dedicated himself by his own freedom of will to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says he's called to be an apostle, a sent one. Jesus called him to be a sent one. You know what a sent one is? Brielle, I send you to the grocery store. You're a sent one. It's just who sent you. If the President of the United States sends you to be an ambassador to a country, then that's prestigious because, not because of who you are, but because the President of the United States sent you. You know, if I send my granddaughter to the grocery store, it's not quite as prestigious, but she's still performing a service of love. Do you see what I mean? You're a sent one. And he was a sent one. He was separated, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. That was his purpose. To teach, to preach, and to live, and to bring people, to train men and women to walk with God, to hear his voice. You know, that's what we do. I've talked about the renewed mind here. I've talked about a lot of these wonderful things that we've taught through the years. But it's training. You train yourself to do it. You train yourself mentally to discipline yourself to carry out what God says, what His Word says. You trust Him and His Word more than you listen to or trust anything else. You reject the lies that the world tells you. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not strong enough. You're not, you know, you're ugly. What, you know, I'm just picking those things. But mostly for me, oh, you're not smart enough. You know, you're getting too old. All of these things that come my way, you reject it. Because I believe that God works within me to will and to do of His good pleasure, and I want to serve. And He will give me. I mean, for crying out loud, Moses was 80 years old when he started. That was when he first got the job. So it never ends. I love the butter knife thing. I'm going to keep that. I'm going to steal that one, Mike. And then, but he received this, and in every epistle he starts off, I am a doulos of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God the Father. Every epistle. He's telling them where he is, who he is, what his commitment is, who's his boss, and then he teaches the truth, and he puts it together for people. You know, you have the authority of your Lord. When he sent out the 12, they cast out spirits, they healed. When he sent out the 70, you know, these are people in training. They'd only been with him a few months. They just believed what he said, and he gave them the authority. You have the Spirit of God within you, and you have the authority to do it. You can change people's lives, not because you're clever, but because of, like Mike said, that love. Because your Lord, your Master, your Father in heaven has given you His Word, you believed it, and you choose to live it. You know, every single one of us, we're born to live, was a great saying. We're born to live, but you're born again to serve. That's your purpose. And you're His children. You are His children, and that is who and what you are. You know, so I'm going to close the fellowship with that. I just love you all very much, and we're going to take some time to pray and have manifestations. But, you know, I'm so very proud of the Word of God that's taught and for the service that my family provides. And Sarah is just incredible support, you know, just real. Mike couldn't do it without her. And I'm so grateful for what they get to do. I'm grateful for the love that we have and the love that they have. And just very grateful and thankful for these things. It's a blessing. So let's take some time to pray. I'm going to switch off this microphone and turn the other one on.